This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
All right, Brennan House here for Mike Lindell, who is out on business. I'm going to be joined tonight by four people: Tina Peters, Garland Favorito, Colonel John Mills, and Dan Eastman. Going to be a fast and informative show. And then the Worldview Report News. And then after that, Brennan House Live, 7:30 to 9. Tonight, I have put together a panel of doctors: Dr. Lee Merritt, MD, orthopedic spinal surgeon; Dr. James Thorpe, OBGYN, and then Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee. Had them on a panel on July 29th. So well received, I decide to do it again. So they'll be joining me for the entire 90 minutes. We may even work in your phone calls because there has been a massive spike in the death rate globally. I wonder what that could be attributed to. There has also been a spike, massive spike in miscarriages of mothers that took the COVID shot. There's been a spike of deaths among young people. Some figures now have it surpassing the deaths of Vietnam War. And we've seen a massive spike in injuries and illnesses. And even the insurance companies are saying this is something that you would see, you know, during a time of, well, they really can't even compare it to anything. So a lot of questions, and therefore we need to spend the whole 90 minutes tonight with that panel, starting at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. So alert your friends, tweet, text, email, Facebook, let them all know. All right, joining me now, first of the four tonight in this slot, is Tina Peters. Tina, welcome back to the Lindell Report. I'm sitting in for Mike, as you know, tonight. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Brandon, for having me on.
No, it's our honor. Our honor. Tell me the latest. What's going on, Tina?
Boy, it's never a dull moment. I mean, I just got off the phone. We're preparing a brief that has to go in like right now to the court to object to the recount the way it was done. Most of your viewers know that we did pay for a recount, and it was not done properly. It was not done according to law. They did not test the machines that were going to be used and compare the total of the machine to the manual sampling. So that's what we're doing right now. And then the criminal case has stepped up, and next Wednesday is the arraignment. They are blasting all kinds of the mainstream media, all kinds of stuff out there. They said they've engaged in parallel investigations with federal authorities. They're going to be putting it on the fast lane to continue its investigation into potential perpetrators of federal crimes related to the events in Mesa County. So they keep calling it a security breach, Brandon. We all know that it was not a security breach. As the Mesa County clerk and reporter, I can have anyone I want in my office. I don't need the Secretary of State's permission. I'm an elected official by the people, and it wasn't even during an election, but the way the law reads is I can have anyone in the office that I would like, as long as they're accompanied by someone with a security clearance, and that's mainly a $5 Colorado, it's a CSI, Colorado, to make sure they don't have a felony.
And you're saying that it only takes $5 to get that.
$5 for us to run a background check, and all it does is check to see if they have a felony. And then it says I had an unauthorized person. Here's one of the things that you guys will like. I wasn't able to be by the court denying me to be at the summit, the Truth Summit. And it says, Tina Peters continues to complain loudly about the limit. I got to read this to you because I can't even, you're not even going to believe this. Peters continues to complain loudly about restrictions imposed on her by the court that prevented her from traveling in person to, quote, my pillow guy, Mike Lindell's latest election conspiracy theory conference last week in Missouri. At Lindell's Moment of Truth conference, the Laura Logan directed movie about Peter's supposed persecution in the service of conspiracy theorizing election code debuted without Peter's, which has to hurt after receiving the red carpet treatment at Mar-a-Lago for the premiere of Dinesh D'Souza's election conspiracy theory movie having nothing to do with Peter's case. Now that Peter's is, whether she no longer likes it or not, and I am still a candidate, by the way, no longer a candidate for office, the double life, listen to this, the double life she's led for the last year as a celebrity in the election conspiracy theory world, traveling the country in luxury. Listen to this. While at the same time, an accused felon facing a long jail sentence back here in Colorado is quickly coming to an end. The bubble of misinformation that Peters has thrived in since her case became public does not include the courtroom. And at some point soon, Peters is going to have to choose between sacrificing her freedom to preserve her status as a political martyr for the big lie or cutting her own deal with prosecutors to minimize her own suffering. We hope Peter's lawyers at some point give her something that they're not known for, good advice.
Where was that written? That was
the Associated Press, Denver. Some of it some of them were quotes. Dan Rubenstein, the Daily Sentinel, which has written over 456 articles, well, more than that now, about me, most of them above the fold on the front page. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been living this life of luxury, Brannon. And, you know, I live in a 1600 square foot house. I drive a pickup truck. I've paid for every trip that I've taken on Mike Lindell's plane, which has been, what, three or whatever. And I didn't have to do that, but I did that to avoid any campaign finance thing since I am still elected official. And these people, I had to put up my own house for a bond that restricts me from traveling outside the state unless I get permission. So I'm wanting to see my mom. My mom will be 94 in a few months. You know, my dad died while I was in jail. I haven't been able to go back and to his memorial yet. That's set for October. And I'm supposed to be in Dallas this weekend. I was supposed to be in Oregon. I'm doing all this by Zoom. They're trying to get me to shut up and take away my First Amendment right, Brannon. And they want to shame me. They want to scare me. You know, I haven't committed any law. I haven't broken any laws. I've admitted that I had someone else in there. And the guy that used his badge willingly that was on Mike Lindell's plane going back from the symposium, his attorneys were paid for, who was in there talking with my attorneys up in South Dakota. This is the guy that said I lied and that he didn't know anything about anything, that he just turned his badge in and I didn't call him for a job. He knew he wasn't going to have a job, Brannon. He never went through an employment application. When I took office, look at this. I've got 28 pages with 50 things on each page that after they tried to frame me with ballot stuffing, this is before I knew about ballot stuffing in 2020, before the election. In February, they had stuffed the ballot box and accused me, when we opened it for the primary election, of leaving ballots in from the 2019 coordinated election. And when I went and looked to see how many people had access to my elections, offices, I mean, this is thick, it's 28 pages. I went, all these people had access. I mean, some of them say, Brannon, some of them say, like, number, badge number one, badge number two, vendor badge, all these things. This was the woman that was the election manager, I mean, that was the clerk before me. I pared it down. I said, no, cut everybody off. So the fact that they're making a big deal out of me, with my permission, having someone in there to observe them, the real felons, deleting 29,000 election records and having 36 wireless devices, and I have an observer in there, which they did not want me to have for obvious reasons, who made a legal backup forensic image. I mean, and then they try to threaten me that they're going to send me to prison. And well, my mom, yeah. So,
well, the Washington Times, you know, for all the talk from the article you just read, conspiracy theory, they use that word a million times. The Washington Times has an article out yesterday. And here's the headline, Tina. NSA, that's the National Security Agency, NSA, Cyber Command, mobilizing election security group to fight foreign cyber attacks. Well, if all the talk of cyber hacking, intrusion, flipping votes electronically, if all that is just conspiracy theories, why is the NSA and Cyber Command mobilizing election security group to fight foreign cyber attacks? I mean, I guess the NSA is drunk on conspiracy theories.
Why aren't they arresting the people that we have already proven are subverting our elections? The Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, and the Attorney General for covering it up, and D.A. Rubenstein, and this judge here, Barrett. Why aren't we prosecuting them? They're covering up, the commissioners covering up that 29,000 vital election records were deleted. I mean, election logs that say who went and out of the system, that wouldn't be valuable to know right now.
Right. So tell me where we're at with your trial. Do you have a trial date set?
They should set it next Wednesday. It'll probably be out sometime next year. I've got misdemeanor charge. I mean, they've just put this iPad thing. Oh my gosh, Brandon, this iPad thing is so ridiculous. They accused me of filming a court proceeding that Belinda was in, and then chased me down, handcuffed me, all that stuff. You know, almost broke my wrist. I should show you pictures of my wrist.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that day.
Yeah. So they've got, and then they accused me of kicking a cop, which is totally ridiculous. You can see from the video that they were, and when you see the pictures of my wrist, you can see them pulling down and squeezing my wrist. And I'm telling them, you're hurting me, and took me off balance, made my leg go up, my right leg go up, and they accused me of kicking a cop. If I was trying to kick somebody, I would have done a lot better job than that. And, you know, it's beyond the circus and the media show, and the lies out there are beyond, and they're not going to be able to prove this unless they lie.
And you're still the Mesa County clerk. You're still elected, duly elected. And when is your election? When is your next election?
Oh, that's another thing. So they complain about me not going to work after they kicked me out of office unlawfully, right? They kicked me out of office, which the only way you can remove an elected official from office is to recall them. A judge cannot remove an elected official. And so, and then they're complaining that they're still paying me. So my big $3,600 a month take-home pay is supposed to pay for all these luxurious trips and all these things that I'm doing. Frankly, they don't even cover my bills that I'm incurring. But you know, I'm living a luxurious life.
That's what they say. Yeah, well, you keep us posted. TinaPetersForColorado.com is the website. Do keep us posted, will you?
I will. I have to laugh. It's just so ridiculous.
Are they going to try to get you to cop a deal before it goes to trial?
Oh, I'm sure that's what they're setting me up for. I mean, with that article and stuff, I'm sure they are. You know, I haven't done anything wrong, you know, so... And you know, the thing with Belinda, they did get Belinda to do a deal. And, you know, but I've always told Belinda, and I've told my election manager, Sandra, just tell the truth. You know, I'm not ashamed of the truth. Yes, I had someone in there. Yes, we planned to do this because we knew they were going to delete election records. It wasn't some big conspiracy. I had my staff in and out, and there's some things just for their own knowledge that they didn't need to be aware of. That's high level, you know, higher level management stuff. But the thing of it is I'm not hiding anything. Yes, I had someone in there. Yes, we did a forensic image. Yes, and we found a whole bunch of felonies that Jenna Griswold and Dominion committed.
And the law told you to back that stuff up, correct?
Sure did. It sure did. Yep.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Tina Peters for Colorado.com. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Love to your listening.
You too, Tina. Check out our website, folks, and keep praying for Tina, will you? All right. Joining me now is Garland Favorito. He was just with us at the summit, and he had a big press conference today in Georgia, I think. I at least saw the press release go out. I think we have a one-minute video, but before we get to that, let's welcome Garland. Garland, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Wow. Thank you, Brandon. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
I'm just really disgusted about that Associated Press article.
Wasn't that terrible?
Against Tina. That was worse than the New York Times hit that they did against us. So I really can feel for her.
Absolutely. You had a press conference today, right?
Yeah, we did. And we've got a little teaser video that I think Logan is going to run to tell you a little bit about what we did today, and then I can elaborate
on
that.
All right, let's do it. Let's roll it.
So tell us what's in this box.
37,500 total affidavits in the box. 20,000 of them are due to maladministration handling of the 2020 election. Therefore, the vote is contested.
These affidavits are impeccable. Our team has found the deeds. They've gone to search out deeds from other states, voter registrations from other states. The unbelievable time that's just been given.
Wow. So tell our audience what that's all about.
All right. Well, today, a team in Gwinnett County that had been working on this for 10 months actually delivered 37,500 sworn affidavits to challenge entries in the voter rolls in Gwinnett County, Georgia, which is a suburb of Metro Atlanta.
So are you telling me that 30 is, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm gathering, 37,000 voters that feel like they were disenfranchised, that someone voted for them instead of them? Or what is that? What are those 37,000 people swearing an affidavit on?
Well, they're swearing an affidavit that there are an invalid, there's an invalid entry in the voter rolls. So in other words, there are 37,000 approximately invalid entries in the voter rolls in Gwinnett County. So they are challenging, they are making 37,500 approximately challenges to the voter rolls. So in other words, the voter rolls have 37,500 entries that they should not have. And there's a variety of reasons for this, Brandon. They are typically bad addresses. And what they found was when they looked at the entire voter roll of Gwinnett County, 625,000 voters, they found that 91,000 did not live at their registered address on file. And that's nearly 15% of the entire voter roll in this county. And that basically, a lot of reasons for the address being wrong. A lot of the voters had moved out of the county or out of the state. They had voters with non-existent addresses that just simply did not exist. They had voters with, or at least voter entries of with addresses like a public storage area. I don't know anybody who lives in a public storage area.
Right.
They have post office boxes that are illegal in Georgia. You can't register the post office box. You have to have a real physical address. They even had some voters on the file that had blank addresses. So that should be a technical impossibility. The system should have caught that. And in addition, they found 2,700 voters that had duplicate voter IDs. So they were literally on there twice, the same voter in the voter rolls on two separate entries. So those are the challenges that they turned over to Gwinnett County today. And the county has 10 days to respond as to whether or not these are valid entries or not. And so far, when the samples were given to the county, the county has upheld most of these challenges and removed the voters or the voter entries from the rolls.
And what I found interesting is your press release says that team leader Mary Bell Hodge, a descendant of Button Gwinnett, who signed the Declaration of Independence, explained, quote, until the approximate 20,000 vote challenges from the 2020 election are addressed, inaccurate voter rolls cleaned up, and Georgia election laws are followed, the people of Gwinnett will never, ever have safe, secure, and honest elections, end quote. She's a descendant, it sounds like, of the man that not only signed the Declaration of Independence, but that Gwinnett County's named after.
That's exactly right, Brandon. She is, and she's a real patriot. And the whole team is, they're just a tremendous group of patriots. There were dozens of people who worked on this for 10 months.
Now, when you say 37,500 affidavits, that's not 37,500 different people swearing. Some of the people on the team may have signed multiple affidavits, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right, Brandon. Each of those is a challenge to an individual record on the voter roll.
Okay, now let's stop right there. To verify that there was something wrong with that, they would have to go and do their homework, canvassing or a lot of research. So every affidavit, I'm guessing, represented several hours of work and research before that one affidavit was sworn to.
Absolutely, Brandon. That gives you some idea of the amount of work that this team put into this. These dozens of people who worked for 10 months to put all this together, and they're not finished. They've got another 18,000 to research before they are actually done.
So this proves that 20,000 votes were, just this alone would prove, correct, that 20,000 votes were illegitimate, right?
Of the ones, that's correct. Of the 37,500 that they are challenging, 20,000 of those entries have been given credit for voting in the 2020 election. Now, we don't even know if they're all real voters. Some of them, they could be phantom voters.
And how did those 20,000 vote?
Well, they have a legitimate record in the voter registration database.
No, how did they vote for Biden, Trump?
We don't record that. You know, there's no way to tell who they voted for, but we do know that they voted in the 2020 election. So that means that there are 20,000 votes in doubt. And in Georgia, any number of votes in doubt, if it is greater than the margin of victory, which was 11,779 in the presidential race in 2020, that is an automatic redo of the election. And that is...
Why did you, that's what we call burying the lead. That's the big news coming out of this, right? That's the big news.
Well, yeah, Brandon, it is. And we have repeated this big news over and over again on your show in a variety of different topics. You know, we talked about 181,000 ballots that were entered that didn't have video surveillance. And $107,000 was improper chain of custody. These are all coming in from drop boxes. 1.7 million original ballot images were destroyed. 17,000 votes. Fulton County certified they don't have ballot images for. And we talked about that, I think, at the Moment of Truth Summit. All of these things exceed the margin of victory. Over and over again, you see this time and time again. And it proves what the Georgia Senate Judiciary Subcommittee said back in December of 2020 when they wrote in their report that the 2020 election should have never been certified.
Mm. So state that state law again. If the margin of victory is...
If the number of votes are in doubt, exceed the margin of victory, that is basically an automatic redo of the election in Georgia. There is case law for that, and there's a fairly famous case here in 2004 where they had to redo election when the number of votes were in doubt on a state representative race, and they had to redo the election. That's the normal Georgia law here. And all you have to do is get that evidence in the court. But the judges here don't want to hear it. It's really fascinating. In spite of the law, they're making political decisions. They're not making judicial decisions.
So they're not following the law.
Exactly.
So why does your state give out speeding tickets? Why does your state sentence anyone to prison? If you're not going to follow the law, then just let everybody in Georgia do whatever the heck they want.
You're making a really key point here. The judges of the state of Georgia are not following the laws of the state of Georgia, and they are not following the laws of the United States government. One case in point is the Fulton County ballot inspection case, which is currently under appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court. When the Judge Amaro, who was going to open the ballots for us, actually he already issued an order to unseal, suddenly and bizarrely decided to dismiss the case. That dismissal violated every precedent in the history of the state of Georgia and every precedent in the history of the United States Supreme Court. You as a voter always have the right to challenge election fraud.
Yeah, I mean, we are living in a time of lawlessness. There is no consistent following of the rule of law, as you say. Most all the decisions are political decisions. There's one set of standards for one group of people, another for another group of people. You know, it's. I don't know that I ever thought that America would get to this point where people so vagrantly, you know, so maliciously violated the law, and that it was so obvious. Yeah, I mean, you know that people violate the law. But I never thought we'd get to a point where it was so obvious it was violated, and yet the system, whole system, hasn't collapsed. That's kind of what's shocking to me, is that the system as we know it hasn't collapsed, when it's so apparent from one end of this country to the other, we're basically just making decisions that are all political, not legal. I mean, there's a old saying that the rule of law is what keeps us from tyranny. Tyranny is fought off through the rule of the law. If you don't have the rule of law, you have tyranny. And guess what's happening in America? Increasing tyranny.
Well, exactly. And you and I both, I never thought we would get to this point. All of our volunteers here who are working so hard on a lot of the material that you've seen and what we presented tonight, even, we never thought that it would get to this point. But you hit on it very, very clearly. I wanted to reiterate it. There is a double standard of justice in America right now. It's not just in Georgia, but we are victims of a double standard of justice, and our rights are being taken away from us right under our noses by the courts of America. There is corruption throughout the judicial system in Georgia and in this country right now, and that's got to change.
Yeah, and I'm willing to say that both parties have been involved in voter fraud.
Absolutely, and election fraud, and even go further than that. And we could go into, in fact, you hit on a lot of that history when you did your opening at the moment of truth. That just blew me away. I didn't realize you were so up to date on black box voting, and I got a real kick out of that.
Well, thank you.
I told you backstage. And so, it's absolutely just complete corruption.
Well, and again, you and I are not looking to defend any party, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, Independent Party, any party. We just want the rule of law followed. That's all. And if George W. Bush stole his first election or stole his second election, hey, let's admit it. And if the Republicans were the ones that started this, let's admit it. These bunch of dirty dogs did this, and then the Democrats screamed and hollered about it, and then they got where they were somehow involved in stealing the election. So let's condemn those dirty dogs and realize at the end of the day, the ones who have been victimized are the people that had their elections stolen, and us, the American people, whose rightful candidates didn't win, not to mention even the people who had their candidate win were still victimized because surely they don't want a usurper to be in office.
Well, that's right. And Brandon, you probably already remember this, but that's how we got started back in the early 2000s. You know, I think I got started in 2002, but back at that time, many of the Democrats in Georgia believed they were cheated out of the governor's race and the U.S. Senate seat by a new implementation of the electronic voting, the old DRE systems, the touch screens that were completely paperless that you talked about in your opening at Moment of Truth. And for many years, our organization was fighting with the Democrats. Primarily, they were the bulk of our organization, not completely, but a large part of them. And it wasn't until 2020, until the Republicans actually woke up. So you have to be victimized before you understand there's a problem. So that's why we have been a nonpartisan organization and how we've been for literally now 2 decades.
Well, good for you. VoterGA.org, VoterGA.org. My buddy and my friend Garland Favorito, always appreciate you so much, Garland. And you're going to be a part, I think, of our, if I haven't invited you yet, I'm doing it now live on the air. We here at Lindell TV will be having live election coverage this coming November, the night of the election. Roger Stone will be in studio. Garland, you're welcome to be in studio. Otherwise, we can Skype you in right from your set right there. Pete Santelli will be in our brand new studio that's about completed down the hall, and he'll be doing election tallies for us. We're going to go probably well into the night and probably have to go into the next day because I'm guessing we're going to see 3 or 4 days of this drawn out while they once again try to back in and dump ballots to steal. What say you?
I say that if you're having brisket, I'm going to be in studio with you.
Well, we'll definitely have brisket. You can count on that. So let us know so we can book the hotel and get ready for you. But whether you're here in person or via the way we've got you now, we want you involved in that night. You just let us know.
Great. Thank you, Brandon. It's always great to be with you.
You too. Thank you, Garland.
Bye-bye.
Garland Favorito checking in, VoterGA.org. Now, folks, before we go to Colonel John Mills, related to a lot of things, including some national security issues related to China, Taiwan, and more, we then will go to Attorney Dan Eastman. Let me remind you, we are a listener-supported network. Everything that you're seeing and watching tonight comes to you because of you. My news report coming up here at 7 p.m. Central. Again, watch that news report tonight and what I'm reporting on. It takes a team of 7 of us, 15 man hours a day to put that together. As I said, we are building another studio down the hall. Our backdrop alone for that is $20,000. Our news desk, that's 8. And then we've got the cameras. Those are $4,000 or $5,000 a piece. Now the lights and everything else, it's a lot of money. And not to mention our $60,000 switcher that goes into that room. So do you realize now how expensive it is to do television and set up even a second studio and control room? And why are we doing it? because we have so many shows that we need to produce and so much content that we have to have another studio to get more people in and be able to produce more shows from. So if you appreciate what we're doing, we have to have your support. Here's one way you can do it. MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, robes, sandals, mattress toppers, and so much more. Also, don't forget you can go to mystore.com. Mystore.com. I just had a cup of this a while ago. In fact, I have a little bit left right here. Just a little bit left of my third or fourth cup of the day. It smells amazing, folks. It makes me want to have another cup. It is amazing coffee, and it is not sprayed. It is organic. And so you need to check it out. MyPillow or mycoffee.com, only at mystore.com. My coffee only at mystore.com. Use that promo code L77 to save up to 25%. All right. Also, remember, there are a lot of other products there. My store is for entrepreneurs. Mike set it up to help American entrepreneurs. And you'll also find a health and energy drink I developed several years ago. Several years ago developed and have been taking for, well, this supplement with this in it for 15 plus years. Red wine extract, bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract. Don't take my word for it. Just do your own search online of the benefits of these various supplements and loaded with antioxidants. You'll find that right there at mystore.com, Extractgevity. Again, use that promo code L77. Joining me now is Colonel John Mills. He served on the National Security Staff for two presidents, and he's the author of a brand new book, And the Nation Will Follow. He worked inside the Department of Defense. In fact, he has testified too as he got a phone call to be part of standing up a team to investigate then president-elect as being a Russian asset. And John Brennan at the CIA and James Comey at the FBI, he said, had hands on the keyboard writing the background for it to stop or delay the swearing in of duly elected President Donald J. Trump. Colonel Mills got a front row seat. He's put it, a lot of it, in his book, And the Nation Will Follow. Colonel Mills, welcome back to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so much. Great to see you again. Thank you for all your great work. Logan, too. I don't know if you know somebody named Logan there. He does great work.
I do.
It was also, that was such a great, incredible time out at the Moment of Truth in Springfield. It was an honor to be part of it. And I think we, things really changed the dynamic. Regardless of whether we're ignored by big media, the fact that we're ignored by big media means, well, they're trying to hide and suppress. They don't want anybody to know about what we're doing, but the word is getting out in large due because of you and everybody else at Lindell TV. Thank you.
It's a team effort, no doubt about it. Well, we've got several things to cover with you tonight, and then, of course, we have attorney Dan Eastman yet to come on. Let's talk about some of the issues you and I were texting with earlier tonight. Let's talk about the Solomons and how they have fallen to the Chinese and what we need to know about that, please.
Yeah, this is just absolute insanity. I just cannot believe it. We had a U.S. ambassador, Aaron McKee. Actually, take that back. We had one third of an ambassador. Aaron McKee was ambassador to the Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea, and Vanuatu. These are small countries, but hey, they're sovereign republics, and we need to have a U.S. ambassador there. But for some reason, the Biden team thought it was so important that they needed some second or third tier ambassador in the bowels of USAID. Now we don't have any ambassador there. The prime minister of the Solomon Islands is corrupt, Manasa Sogavare. He just turned away an American Coast Guard vessel that was operating in conjunction with the HMS Spey, a larger patrol vessel of the Royal Navy. The two of them were working together in the South Pacific. They were just turned away from pre-scheduled port calls in Guadalcanal, sacred solid, where my grandfather fought, and I have a Japanese bayonet from. in the basement. And now the prime minister has essentially cut off the Solomon Islands from visits from any naval vessel except for China. Because see, in last fall, they cut a deal with China. And the prime minister is corrupt. He's not popular with his people. The people almost threw him out of office, and the Australians sent in a peacekeeping force that all they did was make sure this pro-CCP communist continues to be the prime minister. So thank you, Australia. I don't think they realized what they were doing.
So this island, it's an island, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So it's the Solomon Islands, and the capital is on what we would get. It's still called Guadalcanal from mm-hmm. World War II, the sacred Guadalcanal, where Marines held Henderson Field, and it's now Chinese territory. Now I sent a map in. Are you able to project it?
Yeah, Logan. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I did this on top of a Marine. It was actually a U.S. military map from the Second World War, and I thought it was very appropriate. So I wrote on top of this and brought it into the modern age and the modern era. And so you see that red line coming from China. That's essentially the resupply route to Guadalcanal. Which China can bring naval vessels back and forth. Now, the significance is, look at that green circle. That's called the second island chain. And for us to defend, for the world to defend Taiwan, we need that second island chain, because up at the top, you have American territory. That's American sovereign territory, Guam, Tinian, and Saipan. Below that are two other islands that we really need also for basing for ships and aircraft. Ulithi, which is part of the Federated States of Micronesia, and then below that is Palau, part of the Republic of Palau. So that means with Guadalcanal, China has penetrated and is behind the second island chain. That's not a good thing. That's a very bad thing. So China has essentially breached our second island chain, which we need. So they can essentially bring, it's in the near future, it's very likely they're going to be basing combat aircraft and ships in Guadalcanal, which means they can hold Guam at risk from behind.
Which is American territory.
It's American territory. Those are Americans on Guam. So for China to make a military move on Taiwan, they have to rain fire on top of Guam, Tinian, and Saipan, and I would suggest Hawaii too. If people don't realize, Hawaii is a state. Those are Americans also.
That's right.
So this is very important. This
yes,
is
it
not
is.
Not insignificant.
No, it's sure not. And so, Colonel, where are we on this timeline? I mean, I've got a report tonight over at worldviewreport.com. Related to Israel and what they're doing, and it looks like Israel is buying up refueling tankers that will help it attack Iran's nuclear sites. So we've got a hot spot there. We've got a hot spot with China and Taiwan. We've got other hot spots, of course. But, I mean, what's going to happen if we have one or two of these things break out at the same time?
China is terrified, just like we're undergoing a non-shooting civil war in America right now, which they want us to overreact. Don't overreact, Americans. Don't overreact. Take it out at the polls in November, and you need to do your best to swarm, dominate, and get an America First Congress so that January we can hold this administration accountable for just everything, the lawlessness, and as Garland Favorito was talking about, there is war being waged against Americans. That's the counterattack. China is afraid of America First. They're afraid of Trump returning. And I think we're coming very, very close to war in the Pacific. And if they conduct war, they're going to have to take out American territory.
And how concerned then are we with the alliance with Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, that you could see terrorist attacks in the U.S.?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Venezuela right below us, which we really don't have a whole lot of capabilities in Southern Command. We need to restart talk to Puerto Rico about reestablishing Roosevelt Road so we can have some capabilities to deter Venezuela, because Venezuela is nothing but a base camp for special operation forces from China and Russia and Iran.
Absolutely.
You got a huge Iranian footprint in Venezuela. Nothing good comes out of this. They're going to use this to try to essentially block or seize the Panama Canal. And we need the Panama Canal, not only for the economy, but for movement of any kind of reinforcements to Taiwan. So they're probably going to use Venezuela to try to block or seize the Panama Canal.
Indeed. Okay, quickly, because I got to run to Dan Eastman. But tell me about the in your book, The Nation Will Follow, Chapter 8, The Four Corners of Deceit, an update to Rush Limbaugh's version.
Yeah, I wanted to cover that because Rush, and we all miss him so much, you know, he cited this years ago. So I open it with a quote from Rush Limbaugh. The four corners of deceit, government, academia, science, and media. Those institutions now corrupt and exist by virtue of deceit. That's how they promulgate themselves. It's how they prosper. So I think we almost need to update Rush Limbaugh's list. And in the chapter 8, I talk about big government, which Rush talked about, big academia, and Rush talked about it, but never one good thing that came out of the virus. We learned how crazy the public school system is. You know, all the hormone blockers, all this craziness. So
yes.
So we have a public enemy in the, but the virus showed us that. So a good thing came out of the virus. But two things that Rush Limbaugh didn't mention were big tech and big finance. And I don't think even the Maharaji did not foresee the rise of big tech.
Right.
And they're used to suppress America and Americans and control society. They are the 26-inch bicep of the deep state with big tech. But we also got big finance. The war waged against Americans and BlackRock. BlackRock and Wall Street and hedge funds, they are not the friend of America or Americans.
No,
they
not.
Have sent our jobs to China.
Absolutely.
They are not friends.
And people
are the enemy of the American people.
And people can get the book at thenationwillfollow.com, right?
Yeah. Thenationwillfollow.com gives you access to the pre-order for the hard copy, also a significant discount on the audiobook, also a significant discount on book 2, Moms Will Win This War, coming out September. Then we actually do the full launch on the 21st of September. All the orders will ship on the 21st of September, and we'll have additional offerings on Amazon in addition to the site. But right now, all your best value and your best deals, thenationwillfollow.com.
Awesome. As always, thank you, Colonel Mills, for being with us.
Okay, Brandon, always an honor and great to be shoulder to shoulder with you fighting for America.
Absolutely. We look forward to having you back on for regular updates.
Thank you, Brandon.
Colonel John Mills checking in. All right, we're going to go now to attorney Dan Eastman. Dan, welcome back to Lindell, the Lindell Report on Lindell TV. Mike is out tonight, and so we're glad to have you joining us. And I know you're joining us by phone because you're on the move. You have some news coming out of Wisconsin tonight, do you not?
Yeah, we do. It's good to hear from you, Brandon. Thanks for having me on, and it's always great to hear General Mills. It's always very informative. We are working diligently in election integrity issues in Wisconsin. As you know, we've gone through a series of investigations, starting with our Legislative Audit Bureau, and then we, of course, had the General Branch's Elections Committee, and then, of course, we had the Gableman investigation, and, of course, after almost two years of election investigation, we still find ourselves in the situation where the only apparent...
Oh, he must have hit a bad cell. Let's hope that he comes back to us. Attorney Dan Eastman, I think what he's about to announce to us... all right, you're back. He's back. You're back. You left us for about 15 seconds. So where are we at? Did you guys just launch a lawsuit or something related to the Wisconsin Election Commission? I think we got a really bad cell connection here. Okay. All right. All right, let's do this. Let's go to a quick break, and we're going to reconnect him with cell phone. I think that's by Skype. So let's reconnect him with cell phone on the road there. We'll take a quick break, grab him, and come right back. Don't go away.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Made contact with Dan Eastman. Dan, welcome back. So you guys, what have you done? Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you guys launched a lawsuit against the Wisconsin Election Commission?
And we filed a complaint for declaratory judgment asking the court to order WEC to clean up the Wisconsin voter roll by removing all of the inactives that are listed in the voter roll. And that's a very important first step in cleaning up the election process.
Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean that some judge has to order them to do that, or the legislature? How does this happen?
Well, it's a sad commentary on government today. We would expect that a state agency would be working by, for, and of the people and would want to run a clean and pristine election registration voter roll for the benefit of our 72 counties. But unfortunately, the Wisconsin Election Commission ignores not only the legislature, the Supreme Court, the governor, but they ignore everyone with their own agenda. So we've had to ask the court to have them separate out the inactive voters. Keep in mind, we have 7.2 million people on our state voter roll, and we only have 5.8 million Wisconsinites. So, and of those 5.8 million Wisconsinites, only 4 million of them are old enough to vote. So we have more inactives than active on our voter roll. And time after time, we are discovering through numerous investigations that inactive people can sometimes be turned active and voted and turned back off, or other manipulations happen. And to solve that problem, the court should order WEC to separate all the inactives into an archival historic database and leave just the active people who are registered to vote on that roll. So there is no ability to commit election fraud. And we're asking the court to do that, to order WEC to do that.
Hmm. And so what do you think the chances are that you'll be successful?
Well, we think we will, because the November election is coming up. We've also asked the court to cure a problem. We have a thing in Wisconsin called My Vote, where you can go on to My Vote by putting someone's name and birthday in, and you can get into their account. You can see their voting history, and you can actually have their ballot sent to you or somebody or anywhere.
We've shown this. We've shown this online, on the website, right on the TV. And I think someone did this with Speaker Voss's vote, right?
Well, somebody went in and used that system, and we never encourage anybody to use the government system inappropriately. But the fact of the matter is, this is a vulnerability that's been disclosed. So we've asked the judge to order the simplest, least cost solution, which is simply to put a username and password on your account. If you want to have a MyVote account, you should have to use a username and password like every other online database in the globe, except MyVote. So the judge should very easily see that to protect the public and to stop shenanigans from happening, a simple solution would be to have this done. And, of course, we have testimony from Megan Wolf, the executive director of WEC, saying that they do all of their coding, their computer coding in-house, and they're best in the business, this should be a very simple fix. And the judge should order that, because we're going to start mailing out ballots in about 3 weeks. And that system needs to be secure. So if you want to go in and see your account, you need a username and password, just like every other account you have online. And that's what we're really advocating for. And I think it's a request that a judge will see is logical, easy to perform, and will secure a major portion of Wisconsin voter roll.
And how many bad names are on the voter roll in Wisconsin?
Well, we've been analyzing this for a year and a half. We brought in experts like Jeff O'Donnell and Jay Valentine, and we testified before committees. And there's a working theory that there are over 300,000 names in the state voter roll that we consider phantoms. They are people that may or may not exist at addresses that may or may not be correct, but somebody has the ability to vote ballot in those people's names around the state. To give an example, we are looking at a recent assembly race in Wisconsin, and we're finding that a number of people moved into the district, registered to vote on Election Day, which is fair by law, you can do that, cast a ballot. When we go and ask for the one-page application, the voter registration application, they're nowhere to be found. The clerks. What we're finding is these people they're in the database using the voter ID number of people who've died 10 or 12 or 15 years ago.
Is this,
so somehow they're recycling people's ID numbers.
Is this also through the ERIC system?
Well, Wisconsin is by law forced, and I say by statute forced, to be a member of ERIC. And of course, Megan Wolf is now the current past president of ERIC. She's also on the CIS board, while she's full-time employee of Wisconsin, basically subsidizing the management of those organizations as taxpayers. But we don't understand who is able to recycle voter ID numbers. And we have Megan Wolf on video on WizEye telling the state that it's impossible, that nobody reassigns numbers. Well, it's happening. And if WEC doesn't know about it, then you can only assume WEC's system has been hacked.
Wow.
So who's doing that?
Wow.
It would take the level of coding expertise to do it. And keep in mind, the MyVote system was coded and designed to not have a username and password. It's coded and designed so you can put anybody's name and birth date in and direct their ballot anywhere. It's coded and designed that way by WEC, because WEC tells the public that they do all their own coding. Well, how does that happen? And those are the questions we're asking. So we went to court, and we want the judge to look at the facts and protect the people of Wisconsin, because apparently you can't get WEC. WEC went into two emergency sessions after the MyVote situation was disclosed and refused to act. And they said, well, you know, if somebody does that, they're breaking the law, they should be prosecuted. Well, that's fine, and I agree that certain people certainly should not be using state systems inappropriately, but wouldn't it be better to put a username and password protection on the system?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just simple common sense.
Well, and
that's why we went to court.
We have in the Washington Times an article from yesterday. Here's the headline: NSA Cyber Command mobilizing election security group to fight foreign cyber attackers. The National Security Agency and Cyber Command mobilizing election security group to fight foreign cyber attackers. But it sounds like we've made it really easy for both foreign and domestic cyber hackers.
Well, we've analyzed this in Wisconsin, and we've come to the conclusion that there are levels of election manipulation. The first is the fake absentee ballots that are mailed out to these phantoms that exist within the 7 million. That's the first thing. You got to trick the clerk. The clerk mails out a ballot, and somebody mails it back, and she puts it in the system. The second thing is, with these electronic poll books, it's very easy to run extra ballots through a tabulator at a polling place and touch those screens, scribble a little signature, and basically cast extra walk-in ballots. The third way we think it happens is something in the aggregation. We have 72 counties that certify the election results. And somewhere between the counties and the WEC, nobody's ever audited to see if the math is correct.
So wow.
That right now. And then, of course, the fourth is somebody has an ability to change election results digitally, electronically.
Wow.
We, that's beyond the ability of grassroots to figure out. That's in the realm of cyber, you know, that's the stuff the CIA knows about, all that digital electronic stuff. And that's the form.
And yet we're told that all of this is conspiracy theory, if you believe this, and yet you've just shown how it can happen, and the NSA and Cyber Command is mobilizing Election Security Group to fight foreign cyber hackers, but yet we're all told this is conspiracy if you believe something can be hacked. And he just showed, Dan Eastman just showed, how easy it can be done as you leave the front door wide open. Attorney Dan Eastman checking in with us tonight. Aren't you thankful for good attorneys like Dan Eastman? I know we sure are. Thank you, Dan, for being with us. That's the Lindell Report. Brandon House in for Mike Lindell. Thank you for watching. The Worldview Report starts right now.
You're watching Lindell TV.